Hello and welcome to part one of our Halloween extravaganza. Welcome to Never a Straight Answer, the podcast that aims to cover a wide range of topics from conspiracy theories to popular culture and news. I'm Gaz, and today we've got in the studio, as always, the terrifying Terror Taylor. The terrifying Tower of Terror Taylor.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's becoming difficult to think these up, to be honest. But
well, there's only so many T's.
Yeah, well, there's not. I'm pretty sure we could find rustle up a few more.
Oh, that sounds like a challenge to me.
I'm going to try and keep coming up with them for the rest of the remaining episodes.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's the build up to Halloween, and I think we've got a pretty impressive show tonight.
Yeah, I do.
It's a good story. It's a good case, yeah, if you like, and it's going to be a paranormal.
You're probably going to surprise me on this as well, because I've seen it years ago and like looked into it like a number of times years ago, but I hadn't looked into it, and there's certain stuff you've already like said
found
that
out.
Like, yeah, that I'm like, hold on, is
I've
it?
I've no. really done my homework on this one, and I mean, I've literally.
Yeah, but I did my own work in the fucking back in the day.
You see.
Now it's different.
I asked the right kind of questions. And then that leads me to, I don't know, just researching.
The backyard with a shovel and a spade.
Yeah, so anyway, what have you been up to? I mean, I thought I was, you know, we were ill last week.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought I was getting over it, and then I've just been wiped out all week again. But like, I've been to work and everything, but today I feel great. So.
Yeah.
Yeah,
well,
it should hopefully not affect
business as usual.
Yeah, so again, apologies if we start coughing up, but you know.
We've got to spread it around somehow.
Yeah, I know, yeah,
we never give it out.
They do say it takes ages to get rid of the cough.
Well, that's true.
What have you been up to, similar stuff?
Basically, coughing myself, working, and like looking into some fucked up stuff that's been going on lately.
Yeah,
man,
this week,
loads of news.
This week has been absolutely crazy for news, and do you know what? We haven't even got time to fit it in an extra episode, and we'll be putting out an extra episode as usual, but like, there's too much. So we're going to try and cover as much as possible, and we've got some interesting stories, so
I think we should crack on.
I think we're going to hit it with the kind of the space news, NASA stuff. So have you heard anything in reaches of the cosmos?
I've heard NASA has just written out a statement basically saying that searching for alien life should be a fundamental part of NASA. New report.
Well, I thought that'd be their first thing anyway, one of the first things to look for. Well, what's the point? I mean, is space travel just solely to go to try and find somewhere for us to colonise, or is it to seek out alien life and make friends with them?
Well, I don't know. I don't know if you think about it throughout history, whenever another countryman has hit another country, we've never exactly made friends. It's always been. So it's been, I'm taking this, I don't care what you say. So do you really think that's going to happen with aliens?
They'll roll in and use strategic flags.
Plate
a flag.
Either that or they're shit scared of us, that's why they haven't
Well, no, they
on
do
the,
say, don't they, that
yet.
Like these both good and bad alien...
But if you
look into how many alien species have apparently found that. We had a friend send, Mr. Coulson sent us, Agent Coulson sent us some
information
on a book really that was found in Russia actually, and it listed all the species and what their traits were.
It went through quite a lot though.
It really did.
And it was a pretty damn interest, but I ain't even,
I think
to be honest,
we're definitely been
started it.
I know I haven't even looked fully into it, but there's, it's very interesting. So
yeah,
but in that, it does say that these these aliens are out for our best interests, yeah. And there's also aliens that want to destroy us.
Yeah, but that's only like a human being.
Exactly, we've all got that capacity. Yeah. Everyone knows good and bad, and yeah, it's like at the end of the day, if you see and we'll in the wild animals, there's a pecking order, there's a circle of life,
fight or flight. You know, it's all that kind of stuff all mixed together. If you think about it,
yeah,
because it's not going to be a simple. Well, first off, are we going to firstly communicate with them?
Well, we've talked about this, and it's like, are we even the best candidates to even do the job?
No.
Yeah.
No,
so,
I don't think anyone is, to be honest. I think they're after the technology to be able to, which in most cases it's been telepathic, they've been told, and they speak as English, or if you're Japanese, or if you're Chinese, you know what I mean? They're speaking your language.
Yeah.
So they must have some capability of... out of speech and put things together.
Yeah, well, this is it. I mean, I think we've...
Which is a good thing. We need that.
Well, it's funny anyway, because it's like we can't even communicate with each other.
No.
So
no.
Never mind. No. Never mind another species.
Yeah, try and tell the dog to lie down, and he still wants to go up and walk around. And he's like, I've just told you to lie down.
Well, you've obviously not trained your dog properly.
Well, no. The problem is he's French, so he doesn't understand.
Oh, he's a French poodle? Yeah. A French poodle?
Yeah, a Frenchie. Well, he's a fucking Frenchie.
People go on about, you know, how most of these UFO sightings don't happen, like, you know, round here.
Yeah.
Or, you know, they happen in America, or, you know, hotspots for UFO activity.
Yeah.
Well, there was a story in, it was all covered in the Manchester Evening News as well as the Mirror.
Oh, right.
Mysterious UFOs in a space, in shapes of white circles and light beams. Were spotted over Greater Manchester this week.
Really?
Yep.
I got a little thing.
The odd white lights were spotted by scores of people in Gorton, Denton, Drawsden, and parts of Stockport. Loads of people have said they saw the UFOs in Manchester, and dozens of photos and videos have been uploaded to sites like Facebook and YouTube. And this happened on Monday around 8:30.
Monday just gone,
and some have said that they thought it might have been like filming or an event like a circus or something.
Oh yeah.
Because, you know, I've seen these big massive spotlights in the sky before.
Yeah.
But like people have kind of just put it down to that at first. Right. But there are still UFOs, you know, enthusiasts still saying that they, you know, they couldn't have been. And the Manchester Evening News sent reporters out, I think, to kind of investigate. And they said that the lights were moving. They first thought it was in the Vale,
right?
And then it disappeared, and then it was over Gorton. So, you know,
right. Anyone see it?
If it was an event or a circus, it would be in the same spot, and they could trace that.
Well, that is true. Yeah. And plus, they're after have permission.
So, if you were in the match, I didn't personally see anything. I'll be honest with you. And it's funny because that's exactly the sort of thing we're looking for.
Yeah, exactly. So, it just walks by us.
I know.
It's like, what the hell?
Oh, well.
Just land on the bloody doormat and say hello.
Just knock on.
Have a cup of tea.
Have a cuppa. Yeah. So there you go. If you've actually seen anything, let us know, because if you've got actually send it, if you've stuck some photos of it as well, they say dozens of people have got these photos and videos.
Yeah,
send
them over. Yeah.
I wouldn't mind having a look.
Having a butchers at them, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So is there any other?
Well, actually, it's still a bit more on this Manchester thing. Well, actually, on the MUFON, if you check their website, there's all the reports come through, and
yes,
like
there
live
are actually
reports.
Loads of sightings, but like MUFON,
loads
again, I think we've
Manchester.
Talked about MUFON before.
Yeah.
MUFON's a site which is kind of like they
private
they're not run by the government or anything.
Nothing,
and they
either.
Just basically, if you've had a UFO encounter, or you've seen something fucked up in the sky, you can get onto them, and they can tell you if it's just a misidentification. Or,
it's basically
you know,
a vault full of the information if you want to
have a look. They're like the authority on the topic in the and you can kind of get in touch with them or upload your videos or photographs. So if you're not sure about something you've seen,
check out MUFON. There's loads of reports every day.
Yeah,
like every 2 bloody minutes there's a report up.
Totally, definitely, always.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's not even just like, you can check your local area as well. So you might be surprised how many UFO sightings has actually been in your local area.
Yeah.
It's actually fun to just go and have a look.
Yeah.
I've been on a couple of times just to see if any sightings, and it's usually like in Bolton. Like Bury, the outskirts of Manchester, where it's a bit fieldy.
I've seen loads of reports in Manchester, like landings, actually seeing aliens and stuff like that. But like, some have pictures, some have videos, most don't. But
yeah,
it's best if you've got a video. But reporting it anyway is a good thing, because then they can trace if there was something going on somewhere else. They can trace where this object could have gone to, or been doing, or you know, exact pinpoint of where it could be. But I've got some more news to do with the moon.
Oh right, go on.
Yeah, well, funny enough, some builders had found a what they're calling is the moon pizza.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, the moon pizza.
The moon pizza.
Right. Basically, it's a lunar meteorite which, thousands of years ago, something's hit the moon and this fucking chunk's come off.
Right.
And it Earth.
Oh no. Yeah. No, I know. Do you know what? Because
found it in Africa, man.
Is it actually like a meteor? Is it a piece of the moon, but is it in a dish, sort of piece of flat
Earth? Right. This is what's happened.
No.
It's hit the ground.
This has got flat Earth written all over it.
With all the heat and stuff like pressure and stuff, it's gone flat.
Yes.
But then it turned into six pieces.
Right, like, yeah. So it's fragmented,
yeah.
Is it?
Yeah. But it's just gone up in auction in Boston, at the RR auctioneers.
I bet a flat earthers bought it.
And they probably have.
Do you know what?
Because they'll use that as
definitive proof that this is what a comet looks like, and that's flat, so therefore we should be too.
Well, that's it. Well, and, yeah.
I don't know. I'm not going to put words in people's mouths.
Well, the name of it was NWA 11789.
Why NWA?
I don't know. Someone with an attitude?
Yeah.
Possibly.
I'd like to find that out.
There's no reason
why people name things something. It might be the initials of the guy who's discovered it.
Or woman.
Yeah.
Go
down them roads.
Yeah. Well, it's 5 kilograms of the weight of it, and it went for a staggering 600 grand.
You're joking?
No.
Right.
In dollars.
It's crazy, isn't it? Because I had an update on them. What's it? Just quickly, yeah. Because it's like crazy how much things go for in auction.
Yeah. Amazing.
Remember we were talking about that Banksy painting last week.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Just, I mean, I mentioned this on Twitter in the week because I just thought gets better, doesn't it?
It does.
It's like we were saying about this Banksy painting, and it had a shredder built into the frame, and when the hammer went down on the auction, which cost 1.2 million.
Yeah, that's how much it finally went for
when the hammer went down. But when the hammer went down, it shredded the painting. Right? It's actually worth more now. It's worth 2.5 million.
I can't believe it's worth that. You know what I mean? What, shall we get some scissors and cut bits off and
I suppose it's an artist adding to the art piece, so
wasn't there a video with him? Yeah.
Yeah, there's a video. Apparently, there's a video on the web about with him installing the.
Yeah.
But I still don't think you see his face.
See.
And there's still arguments whether he's one person or a collective. Or there's loads of legend
about
the guy.
Well, I don't like to show my face off. You know what I mean? I'm a voice for radio.
Yeah. So, but I just thought that was pretty funny, to be honest. Yeah. So. Yeah, so what else has been happening?
Ooh, big news. Big news. There's a big story going off over the net, and we can't exactly pinpoint it. There's quite a number of people who are looking at this.
I hope this is what I think you're going to be talking about, because there's been so much right.
About two.
Is it about YouTube?
Yeah.
Right.
That's the one.
I was checking. Right. I was reading the news, and I didn't actually, again, another thing I missed. Yeah.
Yeah, quite a lot.
Really early
did.
In the morning for us, I think it was. I mean, 2-3 o'clock in the morning. But YouTube went out on Monday. Was that Monday? I think it was the 17th.
And
usually if there's an outage of a website.
Yeah.
It's not like worldwide.
No. Right. This was definitely deliberately done. It was taken off for 2 hours and then put back on. Now, there's been big speculation on, apparently, because ICANN, who last week I was saying about they were sorting out, they were changing the numbers on the internet, basically. They were changing some numbers because they're in charge.
I think it's basically because this 5G is coming out and they're changing it up. And
there's a load of suspecting over it, basically. There's loads of stuff about it. But what they're saying is, on YouTube, on Monday, somebody come out live on the YouTube channel spouting off about something.
So was it a live video?
Yeah, it was the live feed.
Right, because I...
at least 100,000 people were watching it at the time.
Right, because I was thinking about this, and I was thinking, if they did take this video down...
A lot of people went on it very quick.
Then didn't no one rip it off the web, but if it was a live stream,
hopefully
it might have been a bit more difficult.
But then with all the changes with the internet, it could be that they actually stopped all that going through.
So what was this video supposedly doing?
Basically, there was a guy in front talking in a uniform, talking about how something's here, something's ain't something, and then it showed a picture of something hitting the moon.
Right, okay, because what I heard was that it was suspected that something might be seen in the sky or hitting the moon. I wasn't aware that it was actually showing it.
Yeah.
There
was actually supposed to have been like a quick snippet and then it got cut off.
Was there any indication to the nationality of the...
No, because not as far as I'm aware, no one's, apart from it, them 100,000 people, no one's seen it.
That's
but
one,
if you
100,
have seen
100,000 people.
Put it on the net quick.
Yeah,
man.
I mean, if you have seen it and you've got a copy, then send us a copy because I've not seen it. I want to see it, right? And you can Dropbox it me or something because I'd be well happy to see it.
We can throw it out.
I'd be interested to see what the hubbub is about, to be honest, because it's like with so much speculation.
Yeah.
And what this. So the story I heard is that this video's started going viral.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden CIA have rolled in, and rather than rip this video off because it's already kind of been out there and being seen, it was literally shut down YouTube.
And on all that, I hadn't heard that the CIA done it. I heard that someone had done it, but not there wasn't specifically said the CIA. But then there was other channels, there's another channel that I watch, and the guy's come forward and he's gone like, look, he's bringing this forward, and he says like, he had actual video camera running at that time with looking through night vision, but it wasn't actually at the moon, it wasn't facing the moon at the time. It was facing just slightly off to the right of the moon.
Yeah, I heard that.
So he's filmed something at the same time as supposedly something that happened at the moon. It looked like three or four lines going up.
So this guy was just basically filming the moon anyway.
Well,
he was filming something just off to the side. Yeah, okay.
I've seen the footage several times.
But this is the thing, there's so many cameras out there now that it's kind of uncanny if you don't catch it, do you know what I mean?
Well, another thing as well, at the same time, there was a meteorite between us and the moon.
So do you reckon it was that, or do you... NASA are notorious for shutting down feeds.
They don't like us seeing stuff.
But to get to the point where they're literally shutting down like the biggest website on the planet.
Well, look, all satellites have been turned off. All robots off our planet have been turned off. All ground places are individually either being turned off or monitored.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's saying something that's... Something's going on.
It is getting such an Orwellian society. It's not even that. It's just the fact that we're so kind of watched and we're watched, monitored, and stuff like that. And then it's like, it's getting to a bad point now.
We need to get some fucking answers, to be honest. There's a video
I put up on Thingy as well, which you should all check out. No Dark Places.
Oh yeah.
No Dark Corners.
Yeah.
Which is a YouTube short film. Get on it and check that out, because that's pretty, you know, getting into the Orwellian stuff.
Oh, yes.
And we'll probably talk about that a bit more. So, So what do you think's happened then? Do you think that this is just all hype and blown out of proportion?
No, I don't, to be honest. And the reason why I don't think it's been blown out of proportion, because this is happening time after time, and like those who are supposed to be asking the questions what's going on aren't asking the questions what's going on. They're sitting back sucking on a donut going, I'm going to have another cup of coffee.
I have a dribble.
You know what I mean? Instead of actually doing your fucking job, get off your ass, ask the questions that the people want to know, or what's going on, like the papers and shit. Instead of bringing all this bullshit out, actually go out there and earn your fucking crust.
Yeah,
you know
yeah,
what I mean? Because it just seems to be, it's the people who aren't getting paid who are going out and finding stuff out.
It's true, like
you
us.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, you know, at the end of the day, somebody said something to me about like journalists. They said, that's it, they're not reporters anymore.
Do you know what I mean? Really,
they don't
not,
report the news as it happens. The journalists, and what's journalists is like in Hunter S. Thompson, it's like gonzo journalism, where you put your own spin on it to make it entertaining.
Yeah.
So
I
it's
mean,
like, and then they go on about fake news. So I mean, at the end of the
day, the ones who are
why do you
it.
Think there's so many? You know, it's good to have alternate news sources because you can make an informed decision.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's how it should be. I mean, talking about journalists, about the guy in Turkey. Now there's some more on that now.
Oh,
why?
Yeah, there is actually. Yeah. This is it. Like with this.
Not all journalists are like not doing the job, but
They are doing the job and they're asking questions, but it gets you into trouble sometimes.
And
I think this guy's, you know, if you've been following the news about this, the journalist who's been over to Saudi Arabia.
He's definitely looking like.
It's been an interesting week on it because first of all, they weren't taking responsibility for the death.
Yeah.
Then they happened to know exactly how he was killed, you know, and all the rest of it.
Oh yeah.
Then they sent 15 investigators over to try and kind of suss out what's actually happened.
Yeah. Well, in the meantime, one of them was supposed to have been there and done it. I'd actually had a car crash.
Yeah, well, one of the investigators. Yeah, he had a car crash on the way to the embassy.
No, not the investigators, but one of the 15 that was supposed to have been in the hotel next door who actually went in and did the job.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah. Well, there's 15 people taken into custody. So
no, 18.
Oh, is it 18?
Yeah, it's 18 now, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
It's been an interesting developments. They've now started saying that it was there and it got it. This journalist got into a fight with 18 people, right? Doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it doesn't.
And then the best bit, I think one of the facts I've heard about it was that, you know, they've got there and they've had the entire place painted.
To try
and cover evidence, so, you know.
Well, they're even looking in local forests as well now.
Well, this shit can kick stuff off. This shit can really kick stuff off. I mean,
World War One
was kicked off like
by an assassination.
You know.
Franz Ferdinand.
Yeah, so, you know. Yeah. It's stupid times we're living in.
It is, but I think it's the stupid people who are at the top. That's the problem.
Well, yeah, I mean, this is it. If it's coming from, like, government officials and it's coming from, you know,
no
it's
responsibility.
Like, do you think those guys were ordered or do you think they just got into a scuffle? You never know, do you, really? So,
ordered. They were ordered on it, definitely.
Right. So who's ordered that?
It's looking like it's coming from somewhere from the top. I mean, there's a couple of people on the list that have been arrested or investigated, basically, and they reckon that they could have been passed on. But I still think, myself personally, I don't think they would have gone that far without the big honchos nod. You know what I mean?
Yeah, of course. And this is what we were saying about that Novichok stuff, because it's like there's no way those people who work for the Kremlin as doctors and agents for them have travelled to England to do a job or do something without being ordered to do it.
So
at the end of the day, it falls to the guy in charge who's, no matter what it is, it's their responsibility.
Yeah.
And if your guys go out there and act independently, then it's still your fault.
Yeah,
you can't
exactly.
Control
you
your
should,
people.
Yes, exactly.
So, you know,
exactly.
I'm going to go into the spook. I've got a couple of spooky news
All right,
stories
let's go
now.
Well, it is Halloween. Let's spook it up a bit.
We've got to spook it up on Halloween, haven't we?
Oh,
so,
yes.
Like,
yeah,
so we're
Spend
right.
that cash
I've,
on spook.
I've got a couple of new... I've got some... Hang on, let me just set the tone.
Ooh, I'm shitting my pants now.
Whoop. Don't shit your pants, Taylor.
No. Yeah. No, that's no. You
right.
Might, you might smell something, but it's not me. Honestly.
We're gonna go into the main. We're gonna forego. forego entertainment news tonight.
Yeah.
To go for spooky news.
Spooky.
So yeah. Here's a spooky story from the Mirror that I found this week.
Oh yeah.
Do you know what? I did photography, so kind of like I like photos that people claim it's something
when
it's not.
Yeah, but you gotta stop doing them dick pics and passing the game, man. You know what I mean?
Well, you know, it's like you keep asking me for them. I'm gonna keep sending them. Well, you know.
Yeah, but you keep sending them to Jay, not me.
I'll just send them about it. Whoever responds, you know, it's one
well,
of them.
Well, that's it. If people want it.
Yeah, well, if the demand is there.
Well,
right.
That is right.
So
that
yeah,
right.
A couple have basically they've gone to a pub which is like a historical pub.
Right.
And down south, I think, down London way.
It's quite.
And
it's
this
quite a lot down there.
This they've had a photo taken by the mother-in-law.
Right.
And when they've had a look at the photo, I was going to say develop them, but who gets the photos developed these days? It's probably digital.
Yeah, that's true.
And there's a blurry figure in the background. It's kind of photo bombing them.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
Right. So I've had a look at it.
Oh,
like,
well, what
do
you
do you know? It looks like someone's moved really fast in the background. You know, but they're claiming that they felt a cold. Like feeling behind them
you
at the
that
time. It's actually terrified them.
It's terrified them.
They reckon it's the ghost of the Titanic captain.
What's he doing there?
I know, yeah. Why wasn't he on the boat?
Yeah,
why,
that's
he, how was
yeah.
he wound up in a pub?
Captain must have gone down with his ship.
Right, well, yeah. So, but like I say, what do you think of that? They've, the photo, to be honest, I've had a look at the photo, right? And they're claiming that this photo's got to be kind of a ghost because it's blurry.
You've either had a ghost or not.
And the rest of the photo's clear, so it couldn't possibly be somebody. But you know,
someone
moves. No, no. If someone moves fast, they're gonna.
Yeah, you're gonna get
streak.
That kind of streak.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he's like, try and take pictures of your cat. Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's gonna streak. Like you know, so.
I do it with my dog, and he sat still.
Yeah, I don't.
Like, what the,
don't
how the fuck's
it,
happening? It must be my hands or something.
And it's not even the same pub, but how come there are always pubs that are haunted?
A lot of pubs are, yeah, well, because a lot of fights.
Do you believe in paranormal stuff?
Yes, and.
Have you ever had any experiences?
No.
No, okay.
To be honest, not. Mum has.
Okay.
Where I live now.
She's a big fan.
Yeah.
Hi, Taylor's mum.
Hi, mum. she did a Ouija board in my grand's.
Oh, I would never do a Ouija board.
I did one in school.
Yeah, well, no, I don't think, like,
only
as
once,
kids...
Only once, but nothing happened.
No,
so
I don't
like,
think as
bang.
Kids you know how to do a Ouija board properly.
Yeah, you shouldn't mess with the dark
You shouldn't be
like
messing
that,
with
really.
Stuff like that no. anyway, really. But, I mean...
Not unless
even,
you really...
Even if
it.
You don't believe it, there's always that possibility that
well,
it could be
it.
Right, so it could be true, so
yeah.
Is it worth doing...
Well, it's like the same thing as saying what you're actually seeing is not actually what you're seeing.
Well, yeah, because they say
yeah,
about
because
what...
Yeah, because there's something blurring the way... Well, your brain is working
like,
it out.
Your
on
brain only... You only perceive the world as you... as
yeah,
as light bounces
you.
Off an object, bounces back into your retina, your brain decodes it as that image.
And goes,
so,
that
you know,
blob is a
so,
sexy
so,
thing.
But these oh, animals cool, that can see spectrums that you can't see.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So
yeah,
they
yeah,
obviously
yeah, yeah.
see
yeah.
more of the world or perceive the world differently to what, the way I do. So
yeah,
it's a totally different
it,
place to them.
Oh, what did he call it?
They could be seeing all the ghosts and all the fucking... They say dogs can see ghosts.
But
and
I
cats.
I, well, yeah, and kids. Kids are well, like...
Averse to seeing,
to
like,
stuff, yeah.
paranormal shit.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Because they're still in the process of... But then again, could that be just your brain, like, fucking with your head? You know, like, if you're depressed and shit like that.
Yeah.
I suppose it depends on the whole situation. There's all different aspects to it, like mental... health. There's one aspect to it, to gases around your, with your poison.
Do you mean like you've been, you're hallucinating?
Yeah, yeah, you're hallucinating, you've smelled some spores have gone in your nose.
Do you think it could, you know, a lot of people a lot of people associate it with like, you know, like loss as well. Do you know when people lose somebody, they kind of want to believe that they're trying to reach out from the other side. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, it depends. Right, I get this thing, right? I used to get it all the time, but I don't really get it now. I get it every now and again, but then I must be on some fucked up shit, right? When I've smoked,
I don't know what you're on.
And gone to bed and woke up in the morning, it's like loads of spiders.
Really?
Long-legged spiders.
Is this a dream?
It's gathered together, but I'm perceiving this, but I know they're not there.
Can you move?
Yeah, I can move.
All right, because is this
I could walk around, I could do that, but
There's a thing called old hag syndrome.
All right.
Right? And what it is when you're half asleep and half awake.
Yeah, that's what I put it down to.
You wake up and you're paralysed because you...
Oh, right, no,
because
no, not
when
paralyzed.
You sleep, your body tenses up, it paralyzes you, you go into a sort of a paralysis, sleep paralysis.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah?
I know what you're...
Right?
Yeah.
So that's to stop you from rolling over and
smashing
your head or all that. So
deep sleep.
In deep sleep, you do have a paralysis, but it's been known that people have woken up during this and not been able to move.
Yeah.
And in these cases, they say that they see like an old hag, an old lady style hag, or something like that.
No.
And I thought it might have been kind of similar thing, like dream, but a kind of something that might a premonition.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, but it's not a premonition, you know what I mean? It's because it's a case of, that's like a kind of deja vu then, you know what I mean? So
that
goes
into
something else. Well, look at all the aspects of these little weird things that have been going on and like, we don't know about, we're looking into, and we're really getting nowhere, really.
Yeah, of course.
You know what I mean? But there's still a lot more out there that we really don't know about. I mean, I was watching something the other day about, you know, the missing 411.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We talked about the missing 411
Yeah,
before.
We did one on that,
Liza Lam, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Like, I think episode 3. But I mean, there's loads more.
Oh, yeah.
That book covers about missing people and stuff.
There's a film.
The film's really interesting. You should check that out.
Yeah, documentary film. Yeah, it's good.
Got one more piece of paranormal news before we go into the main topic.
Woo-hoo!
And it is a bit of a beast, this new topic today.
Yeah.
Another pub. The Phantom Bar Stool. Seen moving on CCTV.
Yes.
From inside the pub. The landlady, Kelly, had to call in ghost experts as she believed that the pub was haunted and has a CCTV, as I say, to prove it.
Yeah.
The Black Bull pub, she's heard banging, she's heard scraping coming from the cellar.
Yeah.
And she's never believed, when she moved in, she never believed the pub was haunted, but she, somebody asked her, they said, "Have you anything happened yet?
Yeah.
Has anything happened?" And she went, "Well, what do you mean?" And they told us, said, "Oh, the place is haunted, you know." Like, and they've...
You don't think.
So then,
go on.
Things started happening. But once you plant that seed, are you looking for things? Are you kind of, oh, them creaks
those
creaks and sort of things in your house, pipes and rattling.
But like you said on the pubs, why is it always a pub? Now think about it this way.
Pub cellars are scary, mate. Have you ever been down a pub cellar?
Yeah, I used to live in a pub.
Dirty Den got killed in a pub cellar.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
He didn't. He got killed in the canal.
Oh, yeah, he come back from the canal.
Oh, yeah. He got killed with the...
Dirty Den's died more times
on
than...
the front.
Oh,
in the bar. He got knocked out in
the bar, with the Queen
Bee.
He was buried in the pub cellar.
Is that where they buried?
Yeah, yeah,
right,
I think
okay.
so. I mean, my extent, that's as far back as I watched it, I think. I never watched it as far as that. So,
I haven't got time anymore.
If he's still there, I mean, they might have discovered him by now, or he might have just come back.
I think they did.
Yeah, so she's not seen anything. I mean, no, she'd not seen anything until this guy had mentioned it.
Yeah.
And but now she gets this uneasy feeling, and she said she's the cat's even on edge. So you know how cats, like I say, cats and dogs react to paranormal.
Bring a child in. See what I can see.
Well, I've seen a few YouTube videos where kids are involved and they do see things that adults don't see. So yeah, the potential there, get some children in.
Yeah, under control.
It's like, I don't want to send my kid in there. What, you mental? I haven't got a kid, but you know, like...
Yeah, boy, it's just a little boy and you go, right, go in there and have a little game of snooker and I'll be in the other room and I'll speak to you later.
Oh, right, so you just don't tell him?
Yeah, you just put him in the... Yeah, because there's no
and
point
telling
him.
And then 2 minutes later, you just hear screams.
Yeah,
and you're like,
what the hell?
And Jimmy Savile's just run off with your kid.
Well, obviously you locked the door. But, you know, no one in the pub, just you, the kid over the other side, playing pool,
or
him and his mate, playing pool, you're over having a pack of crisps, watching them.
There's some pork scratchings and a pint of mild.
Yeah, no alcohol, because you're supposed to be looking.
Oh yeah, you're obviously looking after the kids.
Responsible.
Are kids allowed? Are we talking a Wacky Warehouse type environment?
No, I'm talking about
or a beefy.
No, that's usually the old creaky ones.
There's no such thing as a haunted Wacky Warehouse.
Well, I don't know. Want back
he's
in the
being
day.
Biased, you know. Oh, so it's like I did actually forget that.
I mean, centrist.
Yeah. All right. Well, now there's not that many pubs. Well, here's a good point, because most pubs are now turned.
Been sacrifices in northern pubs.
Most pubs nowadays are turned into child nursery care places.
That's true.
So, therefore, children. So are these children
unresponsible?
That is irresponsible, especially as kids do have a more of a tolerance to seeing ghosts.
And if you think about
and
it,
most pubs are haunted. It stands to reason that there's going to be a lot of shit scared kids.
And obviously, the ghost has something to do with the ability of like the kids. So more kids there brings out the more power. Then something the ghost wants, and he grows stronger and more, I don't know, violent or
well, poltergeist. That's in poltergeist sort of terms, that's generally what happens.
Yeah.
You know, they do kind of it starts off small and then it builds and builds until
you
shit your pants.
Yeah.
Oh, your head starts spinning around in an exorcist style-y.
Oh, you don't want that.
No.
Mind you, some people wake up that morning, won't they? God,
do you know
Jesus,
what? I'd be more scared of that little woman, that little fucking woman who comes in where the power of Christ compels you.
Oh, yeah. Freaky little thing, that one.
She was weird. Well, I don't know her name. Maybe if you know her name, get on it.
No idea. Why, do you want a date?
Yeah, she was all right.
Yeah, your type.
Yeah, and plus, if you've got any exorcisms you need doing, she can knock it out.
See if you've got any friends.
I'll let
don't want no ghosts,
so old girls. So there you go. That's like the kind of the haunted news, the ghost news.
Right. On Jay.
So yeah, it is nearly Halloween.
It is.
So
have you got your kit ready?
Our first my Halloween, my trick or treat box.
Yeah.
I've got a box of I've got some sweets for the trick or treaters.
Yeah.
I don't go anywhere for Halloween generally. If there's any parties going on,
send
us an invite because rustle up a costume. But yeah, so we've decided that we'll do in a Halloween extravaganza.
Yeah,
we could like the paranormal stuff, and
yeah,
I think
we've
not covered nearly enough.
No, we haven't We've done quite a bit on a lot of other stuff, but we haven't really hit this subject.
But there's so much to cover, and you can always get into it, and you can cover us, you know, any topic we like, really.
Yeah.
So we thought we're going to go for a real good one tonight. We're going to be covering the Enfield hauntings, the most documented haunting case in the UK, and potentially the Western world.
Yeah.
If you don't know, there's been countless documentaries, TV
books.
Adaptations.
Yeah, there's been quite a number of TV shows. Yeah,
a few books. There was the Enfield Hauntings on Sky One, which was really good. What was the guy out of Alveda St. Pet called? He played.
I don't know why I'm thinking Spooky.
Morris Gross, but like in that. And there's also a book called This House Is Haunted, which
that
was
the
written
most
by
one for it.
Yeah, and that was wrote by one of the investigators, Guy Lyon Playfair.
Yeah.
But
that's a fella.
So like I say, there's so many sources of information on this. So I have been...
There's been some mixes as well within the information.
Yeah,
there, really?
There's been a couple of... and there's stuff that just doesn't get brought up.
Yeah.
And that interested me, yeah. And I tried to kind of find out a bit about that, but it was
dead
pretty
ends.
Dead ends, really. But, like, we'll start
That
off.
Makes it suspicious alone.
Well, on how it all started...
Yes, let's go from the beginning.
Well, on the 31st of August in 1977, in a normal council house in North London on Green Street in Ponders End, Middlesex. Peggy Hodgson lived there with her four children, Margaret, who was aged 14, Janet, 11, and her brothers, Johnny, aged 10, and Billy, 7.
Yeah.
Right? Peggy was like recently divorced as well, so it was a pretty stressful environment.
Right, yeah.
And it kind
kids
of.
Aren't
like,
gonna be happy.
Kids aren't happy, she's definitely
happy.
Not happy.
No.
So, you know, it was kind of a bit of a bad time
bit
for the
family. Bit of a mind melt of.
Yeah, I'd say
of
so.
Stuff happening at the same time.
Stuff going on.
Yeah.
So, you know, the kids might have been playing up and stuff. And yeah. One night, Peggy was downstairs and she just got her kids ready for bed.
Yeah.
And she hears a knocking, like a. Knocking sound in the house. So she's thought the kids were like roughhousing and stuff upstairs, playing up.
Yeah.
So she's run upstairs to give the kids a chastising.
Yeah.
You know, and it wasn't the kids. The kids were basically saying that it was the wardrobe or the chest of drawers
just
banging. Yeah. So,
yeah, but they didn't say that it weren't and that was doing the banging.
Well, no, they didn't, but it carried on banging, and right. They'd established that it wasn't the kids, and the mum, Peggy, wasn't very thrilled about it, you know, she was...
I don't think anyone would be.
Well, no, so she basically, she couldn't explain it, so she's gone to next door to speak to her neighbours, because she was like, I don't know what to do here, she's scared, she doesn't...
She doesn't understand it.
Yeah, she's on her own, I say. So she's just so she's gone next door and she's approached the neighbours who were Vic and Peggy
Mitchell.
Peggy. No, it was Vic and Peggy Nottingham.
Right.
Vic was a builder, so he was a bit of a tough man.
Yeah, so a bit
so, you know, he knew what he was talking about if it turned into, you know, for like the structural side of the house and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, you know, he might be able to determine where this knocking's coming from.
Yeah.
Right? So, he's gone in, he's checked the loft, he's checked around the house, and he can't find anything wrong.
Right.
So, I just don't get why he did the next thing, though, right?
Okay.
It's like, you've checked the house, there's a knocking, yeah, there's a fair enough, there's a...
Man.
Knocking everywhere, yeah.
That's the but kids again.
He's decided to call the police.
Yeah.
Right? As you do. I know it's like they call the Ghostbusters.
Yeah, well.
But, you know, like, he's decided to call the police.
He'd have called the council first.
I know, yeah, to try and get them, somebody
yeah,
to come
yeah.
out and
so
check
the
if there's
a
plumbing
you know
problem
yeah.
or, yeah, something wrong with the boiler.
Yeah, there's got to be something.
Well, this is 1977, were they still not using, like, outdoor toilets at this time?
Oh, yeah.
Like, outhouses and stuff. I'm sorry if
using
I'm wrong about
in the
that,
90s
but, you know.
Still.
Well, some places
yeah.
were there, yeah,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. So,
I remember I was.
The police promptly arrived anyway, and they actually sent out two police officers.
Yeah.
And one of them was a female constable.
All right.
And they went down to Green Street to investigate, and this is what the female officer said.
Yeah.
She said that she was in the property. She heard the knocking.
Right.
Then one of the brothers, I think it was the older brother, which was Johnny.
Right.
Had pointed at the chair in the corner.
Right.
Which started moving on its own.
Right. Just rocking back and forth.
Just kind of wobbling. She
right.
said it raised then at least an inch off the ground.
Right.
And then slid 3 to 4 feet towards
the officer.
To the kitchen wall, right?
Right.
Where it just stopped. Now, she looked everywhere. She couldn't find any string, any rope. There was no sign of any sort of
magnets or
anything that. It was 1977. It was like, you know, anything that could have done that, she couldn't find it. She'd actually, as well, because it was kids' toys knocking around. It was a bag of marbles. She picked up a marble. She put it on the floor where the chair was to see if this was sloped or if there was any reaction there. Yeah, there was nothing. It stayed perfectly still. Right? So she's a police officer giving this statement, and she's on video telling this, giving this statement.
Yeah.
So, you know, but then they put it down to there's not very much that, you know, they can do. The police don't really...
Well, they're not Ghostbusters.
They don't deal with paranormal. They don't deal with that. They can't do anything about the
knocking. They don't deal with specialised jobs.
So...
Let's say. But the police, don't they?
But basically, Peggy didn't really want to be in the house at this point, you know. So it's like the police have said they can't help her. Her neighbours said they can't help her. You know, it's at the moment it's just
three hormonal.
Well, you got four kids there.
Yeah, but three of them at least hormonal.
Yeah, and they do say in these cases that it's kind of the onset of puberty that kind of brings on.
Oh,
it's linked, and there's been a lot of cases that are linked to. To, especially with young girls.
Yes.
I think I've got it here somewhere. There's a couple of cases. One being the Bell Witch of Tennessee in 1817, and then Virginia Campbell of Scotland in 1960. So these are kind of linked with the onset of puberty and kind of the energy that they say, apparently, you know.
Yeah, so. There's some kind of source that's, like, promoting this kind of environment.
Yeah. So, well, they wanted to get out of the house anyway, so they went and stayed with the neighbours.
Right.
You know, Vic and Peggy.
Did they have any problems there?
So, no, they were fine till the next day, right, where Vic had basically said, I think we should... call the media, you know, get the papers in. I don't know if he was trying to suggest that they sold the story or if they made any money off selling the story, but
well, probably you wouldn't want it if it's a real situation. Then the money is nothing in it. It's not an issue.
Yeah, well, that's it, isn't it? It's like I mean, whatever the situation, if they've got a poltergeist, then they'll want to try and get some answers.
Yeah.
And I think that's what they were doing. They were appealing for anybody who might be able to help him in this situation, do you know what I mean?
Church.
Well, the church, why would the church, would they just send an exorcist round?
Yeah, exactly.
There is actually departments of the church that hire priests to become exorcists.
And
there's a lot of stuff they have to go through on that. I actually listened to another podcast where there's a priest on there that's doing that at the moment.
See?
Father Pat.
Because there's obviously something within the boundaries of what they know of the knowledge that actually is working on a certain amount of it. So there's something there to state that there is an answer to the question.
Yes.
You know what I mean? But the answer isn't fully formed yet.
Oh, definitely.
You know what I mean? So it's a case of...
well, it's trying to get more opinions on the matter, isn't it, really?
Well, you need to find out, like, you've got the good part, the bad part, and you want the bit in between where you can actually connect it and go, right, so this is how this works.
Exactly. Well, on the 14th of September 1977, the news desk at the Daily Mirror received two phone calls, one from Vic Nottingham and one from Peggy Hodgkinson, regarding a haunting... with actual witnesses from the police and several other people. So, Daily Mirror don't normally kind of do those types of stories, but they did send journalist Doug Bence and photographer Graham Morris in to investigate it, right? Yeah. And when they arrived at the house, Bence and Morris set up the cameras and they didn't get anything. They were sat there for a couple of hours, you know, there was no knocking.
Ghost was a bit shy then.
Nothing was happening, you know. They thought it was...
If you're going to hide, you don't want to show yourself, do you? You see a camera there, you're not going to go, all right, I'm going to show myself.
No, they're not, are they? Well, they started to speculate that it was the kids, you know, the hoax. It was a hoax.
Yeah.
The kids were messing them about and they've got to this point where they've got the journalists
around. They got a bit peed off and gone, this is it. This is just a waste of our time.
So they had a cup of tea and they packed up and they started to leave and pack up the car.
Yeah.
Yeah, but as Graham was loading the car up, Vic comes running out.
Yeah.
Screaming, saying, it's happening again, it's happening again. The knocking had started up again.
Yeah.
And so they've got themselves back into the house where pandemonium's going on, mate. These, like, Lego flying around the room, marbles, all seemingly of their own volition. They're all flying around, darting around at speed.
Yeah.
Graham gets a Lego piece in the napper, right? he's got a mark, like, because he's got a sharp corner of a Lego piece is just colliding with his forehead. Yeah. But he's backed himself into the corner there and he's taking photos. He just wants to try and capture this on camera.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's doing his best to try and capture what he's seeing, really.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, that was his duty, wasn't it? That was his job at that point.
Yeah. So, yeah, definitely. So, I mean, they stayed there then and tried to get as much of this on camera
as possible.
But...
did it ever get released?
What, the footage?
Yeah,
it actually did. And so basically what happens is once it calmed down that night, they'd decided to leave so they could write their article and get those images developed. You know, they wanted to see what they captured because he wasn't sure if he even caught anything.
Yeah.
And when they developed, then sad to say, it failed to show
anything.
It didn't show anything to the extent that what they'd experienced and witnessed, do you know what I mean, the day before. So,
yeah.
But there was no question in the minds of the reporters about what they'd seen. So they returned to the Green Street and tried to capture some more substantial footage and substantial evidence that might prove it. So after a few days, they basically stayed at that house for a few days.
Yeah.
And they got so worried about the family and the stuff they witnessed in just those couple of days.
Yeah,
they thought, this is too much, man, we're out of our depth, so we're gonna have to try and find help somewhere else.
Yeah.
And this is where the SPR come into it.
Oh, right.
Right, now the SPR are the Society for Psychical Research.
Oh.
Right, they were established in 1882,
right.
And they're known for just investigating weird things, so... anything. It's anything to do with the afterlife, anything to do with alien abductions, I suppose. I'm pretty sure that they just do anything paranormal. And anyone can be a member.
You can still
actually join the SPR, yeah. I mean, they're still going. And I want to find out a bit more about how they were set up as well. I might try and get somebody
to talk about it.
Because if there's anyone in the SPR that can come on and talk about it, that'd be amazing.
I was on the website
and I was checking it out, actually. It was pretty cool.
Yeah.
In 1976, I think it was 1976, there was a guy called Maurice Gross, right? And he had a daughter called Janet.
Yeah.
And she was about 22 years old and she was sadly killed in a car accident.
Oh, poor girl.
So that's basically why he joined the SPR, because he had a feeling that his daughter was trying to
contact him
from the other side or something. So he was thinking, you know, if anyone's going to be able to help with that,
it's
these guys.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But part of it is, you know, you investigate these cases as they come up, and if you're local in the area, then they'll go, oh, yeah, there's a case up the road, do you fancy it?
Yeah.
And when this one came up, he basically jumped at the chance to come and have a look and, you know, to see if it was a hoax, because I think he suspected it was a hoax when he went initially.
Well, if he's psychologically trying to find an answer to the question of it, because he's had a loss, and I suppose it's something that he, well, not necessarily but helps him.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's going to help him, get over it, and it's going to help him kind of, people deal with grief in different ways, don't they,
As long as it didn't seem to be going off the track or anything like that, from what I've checked out about
No, he, and I think he just wanted to help them be a family. I think he missed his daughter.
Yeah.
He wanted to help them be a happier family
to
as well.
To help them close the door could help him close the door.
Well, he ended up becoming a very big influence on the family, Morris. Yeah. He stayed there for quite a while, so like, but...
Barton Furniture.
So when he arrived first, he was kind of instantly saw how stressed out the family were. Only the family, but the Daily Mail or the Daily Mirror reporters, you know, they were as stressed out as the family by this point, and they'd witnessed some stuff in the house.
Yeah, yeah.
And they basically were trying to document it. They'd set up some sort of remote cameras so they'd capture anything that went on in the bedrooms or anything like that. So, as well as kind of like capturing anything that weird that happened, it was also like could also prove to an extent that they weren't, you know, doing the kids weren't doing it.
Yeah.
You know, or they weren't just pranking, or it wasn't a hoax.
Yeah.
So Morris says that the family had never even heard of a such thing as a poltergeist.
What?
So, yeah. In fact, like, when he said the word to, like, Janet, she was, like, pronounced it wrong. She didn't have a clue what he was talking about. I mean, this was the 70s.
Right.
You know, it wasn't, like, as widely known as today, this type of stuff.
Well,
you know?
No, but there was a load of films and stuff that come out.
Yeah, totally. And I mean, I wouldn't believe they were that naive, but she was 14, you know, and her brothers and sisters were younger. So, maybe not. Right? But the point was, Gross was convinced that, you know, after a few nights that the house was really haunted. And he thought it was unlikely that, not knowing what a poltergeist was, that they'd be able to mirror the behaviours of one.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, if you ask one of these SPR people, they'll probably say that there's a pattern. They start off, like I said earlier, they start off like knocking.
And then it'll
get
more vicious and violent.
So,
It seems to run in that kind of form.
But again, he started to think he's in too deep and it's a bit over his head.
Yeah.
So, he calls up the SPR again and he wants some advice, right?
Yeah.
So they send along like a seasoned member, Guy Lyle Playfair. Right, to help Morris with the investigation. But he thought he'd be popping in and out.
Yeah.
He'd see, you know, help out a bit.
Yeah.
And then he'd be out of there, yeah?
Yeah.
He thought it was a legit case from the info he was given.
Yeah.
He ended up living there for 14 months.
Fucking
right.
Hell.
Now this guy was like a guy who's worked for them for a long time.
Honestly, he just moved in.
Well, it's weird because, I mean, as well, like, there's other kind of avenues, but, like, you know, I'll get to that towards the end. I've got, like, a few things, like, theories and stuff towards the end, but, like, you know, the word poltergeist, anyway, means noisy spirit.
Yeah.
So you've heard that.
Yeah.
And they usually manifest through psychokinetic energy, which is how they were able to move things and interact with the kind of the real world or the waking world.
Yeah.
And it's how they're able to do like knocking and stuff like that. And it can go on for a couple of days, or it can go on for like years.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Starting with something small and building up.
Yeah.
Right.
I've heard many cases where they've got. You just continue and continue, man.
Now
you can't get rid.
Ros Morris, a news reporter for the BBC.
Yeah.
Right. Are you starting to see connections here?
Yeah.
Right. A reporter for the BBC was interested by the news article in the Daily Mail. Daily Mirror, and she went to interview the family, and she was able to capture some of the knocking and other occurrences on tape.
Yeah.
Right. She said it was one of the most frightening stories she's ever been. She thought it was just a slowly news day and she was going to like see.
Yeah, get an easy day out.
And she ended up kind of like getting drawn into this. So she was another person who witnessed stuff going on.
And it got her interested in the story itself.
Yeah, yeah. So, but I mean, the activity was really kind of focused around Janet, really. You know,
right, okay.
Janet and her sister Margaret, the boys really didn't kind of come into it, and I found that weird because in the whole story, yes, they never really mentioned, apart from that one instance
time, yeah,
at the beginning where they talk about him pointing at a chair, right? And then you don't see him any other time, you don't hear of him.
No.
And then we try to find out if they gone to stay with other family, or, you know, did she want him out of the house?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I just don't understand why that was. But then in October 1977, things started to get really strange when one instance of there was a loud crash upstairs,
yeah,
and then they had a cast iron built-in fireplace in the bedroom.
Oh, right. Right.
Now this fireplace had been ripped out the wall,
yeah,
and the gas pipe bent, right?
Oh, shit.
Now it couldn't have possibly been one of the girls, right? They haven't got that feat of strength to do.
No.
Right, but it was.
I don't know, with the puberty kind of side of it, yeah, the body's changing. You never know, they could have had that little bit of strength to go, you know what, oh, I'm feeling like Rambo today.
To be fair, it could be the Incredible Hulk rip of cast iron fire, but one of those old school fireplaces out of the wall.
Yeah.
And fling it across the room.
Well, I was in an accident years ago, and the car in front flipped. And the driver of my car got out, went over, and he couldn't get the steering wheel pinned, the woman, and he ripped it out.
Yeah, and that's what they say, don't they? It's like that adrenaline kicks in.
Yeah, but the door come off, and
what was
it
that made Janet or Margaret get that boost of adrenaline?
Something around there, though.
Well, that's it.
Yeah,
they said there was an energy. Well, this
the
is
theories.
It. They reckon there was an energy in there. Morris approached an expert of physics to run some tests on her. And he wanted to test if she could bend spoons like Uri Geller.
Oh, right, yeah.
And she could. He tested her, and she was able to bend the spoons. So Janet
Uri Geller didn't bend spoons.
No,
he was found by the CIA as fake.
As a fraud.
Yeah.
Well, maybe she was able to use this fraud as well. Because...
Yeah.
There's a lot of things that suggested that Janet was making this all up, but as they kept testing her, she kept passing the tests. So it's like it becomes more.
And it seems like
believable.
A little window as well of a couple of years. It doesn't seem like, you know, to carry on unless some kind of change within the body's kept whatever that energy force is. On them.
Well, they say about poltergeists, they kind of manifest in a turbulent environment, obviously the divorce and everything that was going on. And then, you
all
know,
the
puberty and the stress and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
You
had my cookie. Cookie Monster's
had
my cookie.
So,
Cookie Monster.
So, yeah, so, well, Janet's described as like quite a clever kid, to be honest. So it probably wasn't without the realms of possibility that she could have started playing pranks.
Yeah.
But she, and as well, she was also described as quite a, you know, a energetic kid.
And where's that energy gonna go? So it does formulate to me to do with that kind of force. That's something that, like, we still don't know what it is.
Yeah. Well, like, it was starting to ramp up anyway, like, and, like, the activity in the house.
Yeah.
Like, she was, you know, it went from knocking to physical sort of...
Assault
on Janet.
Yeah.
There was instances where she was being, like, kind of pushed and... thrown around the house.
Yeah. Especially the bedroom.
Morris was kind of concerned for him, felt they all needed to get away for a bit.
Yeah.
And he wanted to see if there was still activity while they weren't there. Right?
Yeah, it's a good idea.
They actually had been little bits, but nothing to the extent
nothing
of when
major.
Janet in particular was in the house.
So it could be some kind of opening then, you know. I don't know, spirit world or whatever,
so
some kind of opening within there.
He sent them all off to Clapton-on-Sea.
Oh, see.
A lovely holiday spot. And they went over there for a week. But when they returned, things just went from bad to worse. The knocking came.
How were the kids when they come back? Were they like.
The kids were fine, they were happy, but they were happy in the sense that they'd had a nice holiday, but they were dreading coming back to the home. They didn't want to. have to come home to that. So, you know, they've just had a nice time away, where they've had no drama. But
what was it, a week they went?
They went for a couple of days, I think.
A couple of days. So, see, they need something like a fucking fortnight to a month, man.
But when, so like I say, the knocking when they came back was occurring in every corner of the house. It was in the ceiling, it was in the floor, in the walls. They were losing it, basically. They couldn't work out.
They fucking lost it.
Yeah. So, but that's when Morris challenged the knock.
Challenge.
Yeah, yeah, because if you think about it, if something's knocking, you can say, okay, I want to ask you a question. One knock for yes, two knocks for no.
Yeah, good idea. Right? Good idea, clever fellow.
So, he asked if that was all right, if you'd knock once for yeah, two for no, right?
Yeah, because maybe, like we were talking about before, about the communication thing. That might be the way to communicate.
Well, when he asked, did you die in this house?
Yeah.
It knocked 54 times, right? I'm getting goosebumps here, mate. Honestly, this is really, whoa, I don't know what's going on.
Shiver down your
back. Knocked 54 times, and then he asked.
So is that yes or no then?
He said, are you playing a game with me? And there was a whoosh, and the lights went out, and a box came flying across the room and hit him in the head.
It's not right? accurate, is it?
It was actually quite funny, because in the documentary, Mrs. Peggy, right, the mum, she just goes, crumbs! Oh, like, you know, like it's such a kind of old classic shit, old shit word, right?
Oh, shit, man.
And, but he got a whack on the head, and they were all convinced, you know. But there were other people from the SPR that weren't, was Gregory and Beloff. There were two other SPR members, and they had spent some time in the house, and they wanted to kind of check on it. So they've gone down to Green Street, and they just put it down to childhood pranks. They weren't convinced in the slightest, to be honest. And I don't know what it was that they saw that the other two were failing to see. Or if they were just so invested in it.
That's where communication needs to be put in.
So there's only been two people who haven't seen things. We've had the whole family.
Yeah.
Vic and Peggy from next door. You've had the reporter from the Daily Mail. The photographer from the Daily Mail.
Yeah.
The journalist from the BBC.
Yeah.
Right. The list's getting bigger of confirmed eyewitnesses. A police constable. Yeah. Right, who've all confirmed that they've seen something, right, and experienced something in this house, right?
Yeah.
But there was, and that's not to say that they didn't make pranks, right?
Yeah.
These kids, right?
Yeah, they must have been playing up with
it. There was, you know, the kids, they're going to start playing up to it. There was an occasion where in this documentary, Morris says, he came in one day and the kids came running up. Go, the ghost snicked your tape recorder, Mr. Morris. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
And he was saying, oh, have they really? But when he's found it, he knew that he had it running. So when he rewound the tape, he could hear the girls going, hey, let's hide his tape recorder. We can blame it on the ghost, you know. So there was instances where they did play up, and no one's saying that they didn't, but that's just kids playing, isn't it?
Yeah, kids being little bastards.
But the activity kept getting worse again, to the point where Janet was actually having violent fits at this point, right? She'd be screaming, she'd wake up sweating, swearing, and she had to even be restrained, right? There was an incident where she would be dragged out of bed by like an unknown force and hurled down the stairs head first.
Oh, Jesus.
There was even an account where the curtain had actually wrapped around her and seemed to be attacking her.
Oh, shit.
And a lot of this was like it was alive. It was actually this. Most of this was caught on camera, and like, you know, we say there was a photographer there who'd set up remote know, pictures, and there was even like kind of images of levitation, right?
Right.
But
okay.
Some people, they say that they're very kind of it's they're down to interpretation, because
you could jump and make that same interpretation.
There's a lot of very good. Sam Taylor Wood. Was great photographer, did some really good levitation photos.
Right.
Okay. She's I think she's married now, so she's changed her name. But you can still Google Sam Taylor Moore.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Really good levitation images. She also directed the John Lennon film Nowhere Boy. Really good film too.
Oh,
anyway,
right.
Back to the topic. She'd had all these kind of horrific incidents that were happening.
Yeah.
So Morris had invited a hypnotist over, another guy from the SPR, to come to the house and put Janet under to see what she could, see if it was all a hoax.
Yeah.
Or if it was going to be like, if she'd like be able to give some more information on who and what it was that was,
going on.
Influencing her.
Yeah.
So, when he asked who was doing this, she actually said, me and my sister, right?
She actually said that,
but quickly changed it to I don't know, and how she'd been grabbed and pulled out of bed, and when he said who'd done that, she said that she didn't know, but it was a cold, she felt like something, a cold hand had grabbed onto her, right? The guy who did the put her under came out and said he did not believe that this was a hoax, right?
Right, yeah.
Now,
the way he
described it was and explained it was, they did say it was him and his sister, but it wasn't her.
It was her being manipulated
into doing things by an unknown force.
Right, okay. So like a little whisper in the ear. Like your little devil on the shoulder.
Yeah.
Saying, right, yeah, Nikki's tape recorder.
Well, not even just generally. That may be like... that she didn't know she was doing it, or she was in a different, like, sort of unconscious but conscious.
Yeah, because there's got to be some other kind of force.
But that doesn't explain the knocking and all the rest of it.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
She can't move the chair, or she couldn't, like, you know, do a lot of things that was going on, like wrecking the room when people were in there and shit. But, like, so there has to be some kind of connection. Like, they obviously know there's some kind of connection between her and whatever's been going on.
Well, you know, we were talking about menstrual stuff and all the rest of it.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, on the 14th of September was the day of Janet's first period, right?
Right.
And on that day, eyewitnesses say that they honestly saw Janet levitating horizontally.
What?
Yeah, from the street, looking up at the house. They could see her in the window. And one of the neighbours makes me laugh because she says, I actually went home, lay on my bed and tried to replicate it and I could not lift myself up. You know, it's just ridiculous. But there was another case of like, like a bread delivery guy said he saw this as well. And there was another instance where like, she had a cushion in a bedroom, a big red cushion, right? And she was able to get, it was able to go... get on the roof somehow, and the guy said, a neighbour across the road said, no, he said that you couldn't have done it, that she was able to pass through solid objects.
Yeah.
And there was an account where she said that she went into the next door's bedroom, right? She was able to describe the bedroom, and she'd even left a children's book in there, and when they went in, it was there. Yeah.
What?
I know. So they were trying to say that, like, with
these
possessions, she was able to go through walls. So. No one's seen this. No one's seen it. But this is what she was saying, and this is what they came out. This is what they were coming out with, right? These are the allegations, if you like, if you're looking at it as a. An investigation,
yeah.
You know. So later that day, they were sat in the living room, and things started even going, taking a stranger like twist, where a dog started barking in the living room.
Right.
Now this was a clear dog sound. They've got the recordings, and it's like a dog sat in the living room. And that might be all well and good if they had a dog, but they didn't.
They didn't have one.
Right. So this barking was barking
shit
and barking. And Morris, again, challenged it. He said, if you can bark, you can talk.
Yeah.
Right? So he was like, say my name, right? And then it did.
Oh, yeah.
Right. it said in a gruff, deep voice, Morris. Yeah.
Got this on recording as well, haven't they?
Yeah, this is there is recordings of that. Yeah. I haven't got it now, but like there's the recordings of this voice, and it does sound like an old man. I'm not, and this is coming from a 14-year-old girl. Now everyone started saying that it was her making the voice. Noise. Yeah. You know, but.
But it still doesn't answer the other questions.
Well, no, it doesn't, and they got response out of it. The voices never shut up, to be honest, right?
A bit of gobshite
then. No, I think there was a few voices that started coming through.
So she's like a vessel.
Yeah, something like that, yeah. But it was kind of, one of them was kind of giving clues to its identity. And when they got talking to it, it said, where are you in the room? And he said, I'm on top of Janet.
Oh shit.
So they said, why are you on top of Janet? He said, because she's in my bed. So they're like, whoa, that's a bit freaky.
And where was Janet? Just
Janet, Janet's, well, this is it. They're saying that the voice was coming from Janet's direction, right?
Yeah.
So the ghost is saying, she's in my bed, I'm on top of Janet. This is my bed. What's she doing in my bed?
So that gives an excuse for why it's going out of it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But she said that she felt a cold hand on the back of her neck, and this voice was coming through her. Right, from behind her, she said.
Right, okay. Right.
So they said, well, why can't we see you? And it said, because I'm invisible.
Right.
Because I'm a G-H-O-S-T. This is what the ghost says. Right. So they shit in it. It's all recorded.
Yeah.
And Morris was actually like, you know, thought Janet was making the voices up at first, you know, like. But they had her tested, they got her checked out, and there was you got your vocal cords, then you got your fake vocal cords, your larynx, right? And if you make your now they suspected that she was doing the voice from a fake vocal cord, but if it's actually from another piece of skin that where the noise was actually coming from.
Right.
But they say, if you did that voice for any longer than a few minutes, you'd severely damage your throat, you'd end up with hoarse, and you wouldn't be able to talk.
Yeah.
Right. This voice often carried on conversation for up to 3 hours at a time.
Fucking hell.
Right. And Janet was unscathed by it. She'd actually talk in between.
What?
Right. The thingy. Now Morris wasn't convinced at first.
Yeah.
Now he'd do tests on her. He'd fill her mouth up with water.
Yeah.
And tape her mouth shut. But the voices it's continued. Cool. Right.
Why are you taping your mouth up? Her mouth up.
Exactly, I mean, it's like, but like, it's not the sort of, she was no ventriloquist, is what I'm getting at. She was, there was elements to this where, like, Morris felt it was a hoax at times, but then something had happened that had
changed his mind. But that's just like a magician, like, finding out that, like, he's just done a card trick, you've noticed something, so he's changing that trick, so it actually turns out something different to what you realistically we're gonna do.
Yeah, well, up to 7 voices came through, like 3 really intelligible ones, and
a couple of mops,
dogs, stuff like that. And like I say, people did think that Janet was making it up and that she was just making this voice, but after a while the interest in the case started to die down, but the incidents did continue. There was reports of Janet even being able to pass, like I say, through doors and hover and, you know, all the rest of it. And she was even found, there was a loud bang one night, and she was literally planking on top of one of the cupboards, like, you know, laid vertical when they walked in. So, Guy Lyon Playfair, he ended up kind of like, he was there for a few years, like a few months, like I say, but he ended up writing a book about it, like I mentioned earlier, and the book's called This House Is Haunted.
Had a few boyfriends there.
Well, it does, doesn't it? There's quite a lot of people going through the house.
Yeah.
You know, like, and I think the kids did see the guys as, like, daddy figures, especially Morris.
Yeah.
Because, like, you know, when I think Morris had a soft spot for the kids as well, especially since he had that bereavement.
Yeah, they've already been playing around with him as well.
And, like, you know, kind of saw him as new daddy. You know, like this new father figure.
Yeah.
So, I need a drink.
The lynching on.
I'm starting to get dry mouth now. So yeah. He'd wrote the book, This House is Haunted.
Yeah.
And that got the attention of a certain guy,
right,
who I'll go into in a minute.
Right.
But he claimed that he'd once lived in the house on Green Street.
All right. What, that exact
that
house?
That exact house. He'd read Guy Lyon Playfair's book, and he decided, he basically thought, I used to live in this house.
Right.
So he wanted to speak to these guys, like, pretty quite, I think he wanted to speak to them and get involved,
him,
you know, so,
info.
But meanwhile, Maurice Gross, he'd got his son in, right? His son was a solicitor, and he wanted to ask him to come and interrogate this voice and try and get some answers out of him, yeah.
From a solicitor?
Yeah, well, he's like a kind of, a barrister or something, you know, he's good at interrogations and cross-examining. Yeah.
Right, okay.
So he wanted to see if he could pick any holes in the story.
Okay, I understand that now.
So Richard's come down.
Yeah.
And, he was very interested. There's actually an interview where he says he was just about, he wanted to see what this was going on in this room.
Yeah.
He was about to go in and he saw the door was a crack open.
Right.
Right. So he thought, I'll have a bit of a peek before I go in. And just as he was about to have a peek, he heard this voice going, close that door. Oh, actually, it was close that fucking door.
Oh,
yeah.
Shit.
And he thought, bloody hell, mate, I've just had my mind read. You know what I mean? So he was already a bit kind of spooked out by it.
Oh, yeah.
So he'd ended up going in anyway, and he was like, you know, questions like, what's your name?
Yeah.
And he said, my name's Bill. Yeah.
Bill.
And
second name?
He asked him some questions.
National security number, credit card number.
About who he was, where he was, where he died.
What happened.
Stuff like that. What happened. So he basically turns around and he says he was named Bill. And he went blind and he died in the corner in the chair downstairs.
Right.
Of an aneurysm or a hemorrhage.
Right, okay. Right. So why is he hassling the family then?
Richard totally believed the story,
right.
I mean, he was totally convinced.
Did you check out files on the history of the house?
Well, this is where I'm going now.
Right,
the lad
that
got in touch with Guy Playfair about living in that house was Terry Wilkins.
Right.
Now, Terry Wilkins said he was the son of Bill Wilkins.
Oh, right.
Right?
Okay.
And he claimed to have lived in that house, and astonishingly, he died exactly how the spirit said it did, right?
Yeah.
And Terry was absolutely convinced. In July 1978, Janet was admitted to a psychiatric hospital.
Yeah.
Right, and after 2 months, she went home with nothing wrong with her. She was given a clean bill of health.
Yeah,
They basically checked her out, to run a load of tests. They found nothing wrong with the girl.
Yeah.
You know.
It's that power. Source of something.
She says she still feels a presence though, and
what, to this day?
Yeah, but she doesn't talk about it, and she's not really had any sort of incidents. Yeah, but in 2003 Peggy died, and she lived in that house up until the day she died.
Right.
Yeah.
Did they carry on the incidents after the daughter left?
No, well, she said it did calm down. There was incidents. But like,
not as major,
and I think as it did, kind of, the girls got older, the incidents calmed down, and they went off and had reasonably normal lives.
And
like I say, Peggy lived there, but no one ever changed the accounts of what happened. They always stuck to the story. And the Enfield hauntings went down in history as one of the most documented poltergeist cases in history. So 17 eyewitnesses through the whole case. And it's just one of those stories that are just like kind of,
it's
got a lot of kind of thing to it.
It's got stuff to it, but it could possibly the young girl that's done a quite bit of it, but like you said, the devil on the shoulder, like, could be the part that's making her do what she's been told to do.
Now, who do you think's telling her to do things?
I mean, I'm not on the spirit world kind of thing, it's a case of one of two things. It's either a spirit world and there's they're in the in-between zone, and the, you know how the story goes, how they can't get to heaven or hell because
they've
there's
got
something left to do.
Yeah.
And like it they can't get away, or something's happened where they'll never be able to leave. So what are you gonna do? Fuck about.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're gonna be actually like a kid, and if it over generations nothing's happened, you're getting bored, then someone comes in, then you know what I mean? In that case. Or it's to do with
parallel universes.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
A parallel world. But in
this
that
dream of
how,
like,
why
time.
Would he be discussing it in like a sense that he was from our plane? Like I died in the chair
because
downstairs,
the thing,
and I remember what happened to me.
Well,
that's how he kind of comes across. Now I don't know, because in these terms of eyewitness accounts, what seems to happen a lot of time is we'll discuss it. So you'll go, did you see that? And I'll go, I don't know, what did you see?
Yeah,
and you'll
go,
I saw a chair slide across the room, and I'd go, oh yeah, so did I. And then when you ask me next time, or the next guy asks me, I'll go,
it's a sofa.
I saw 100% saw a chair slide across the room.
Yeah.
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 And then you know they ask
Chinese
you then,
whispers.
And then it's like it cements that.
But that's
story.
If the Chinese whisper,
you know,
doesn't
I mean?
Get in between it.
What I mean is it cements the fact as this is exactly what happened, whereas you might not have been sure if you were just been on your own. Do you know what I mean? But when you've got other eyewitnesses with you, you kind of might see it as a bit kind of like...
I think it depends, because it's the same situation as if, like I've said this before, as if something happens, something major happens, like someone kicks a door in and like it kicks off in here, blah, blah, this, that and the other, please come in here.
That'll never happen.
They get a statement.
You won't get in the bunker.
You'll go back to the station later on,
yeah.
Maybe a day later, you'll have another statement, and there'll be bits in there that never even happened, and then you'll get witnesses saying like, that didn't happen, well that didn't happen, or
yeah.
That happened, he forgot about that, because you've got all that adrenaline, or you've got something like, you know, I don't know, some kind of poison within your, you know, something's wrong, that's not right, and it's giving you them, you know, what you believe, you'd believe it until the day you died, but it didn't actually happen that way. It happened a different way.
Yeah.
You just seen it in that way, where it's actually you were wrong all along. But you could turn around and say, I'd swear down on my life. You know
yeah,
I mean?
That's it, isn't it?
It's a case of...
I've only ever had one paranormal sort of experience.
A deja vu.
I've had deja
I've
vu
had
a lot of times, but I don't know if that's classed as a paranormal experience.
I would say
so. My paranormal experience was my nana's cat, and she had this white fluffy cat, and it died, and I'd gone round to the house, and I was like, this cat slinked round my legs a lot when I'd sit in the living room watching the telly.
Oh yeah.
And I felt this cat slink around my legs.
Yeah.
But then I went and looked, and the cat was gone. So I said, where's the cat gone?
Yeah.
To my nana. And she went, the cat died. I was like, it's just gone round my legs and gone behind the sofa.
Say goodbye.
Oh, it might have been, you know.
Yeah, I forget.
It was a nice cat, that. It was a really nice, white,
limbo.
Fluffy cat.
That's the word, limbo.
Limbo.
The place in between.
Oh, that's a dance you do under a pole, isn't it?
No, that's why if your spirit can't, supposedly your spirit can't leave.
Like, oh, right. So, yeah, that, like
the
I
gap
say,
in between.
Like in Ghost, because you've still got stuff to do. So
yeah,
you go see old Amy Brown,
yeah,
and then you do some sexy porridge.
Yeah, see, the knocking in that. Yeah, our answer. 50, yeah, my age is 56.
52.
It was going deaf as well as fucking blind. That's the problem.
Well, it's just like, come on, mate. It's like, you're not.
But he was just good with a gob.
He was good with his knock.
Yeah. He was, yeah. He liked knocking.
Yeah.
He weren't getting your attention, he was just knocking.
He was
doing a tune.
What do you think about the whole story, though? Do you think it was a hoax, or do you think it was... they had some credibility? I mean,
it's definitely
seems
got
to
credibility.
Be, now, if you listen to the tapes, now yes, I encourage yeah. you. Yeah, I might
please
try.
Do.
I'll put some in the description, but
please do
listen to this voice.
Because I've
yeah, because it does not sound like it's
gone,
coming from
I'm
a 14-year-old girl. It definitely sounds like an old man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely. I could hear him now.
He's got a sense of humour as
he's
well.
He's one of them. He's one of them. Things that you remember when JFK died, you know, it's one
of
them things
voice.
That like is.
I yeah. tried, I was trying to do the impression of it during the.
Yeah,
the, he's got a graph for
that. Yeah, he's a big, he is a rough one, but yeah, I definitely remember that. I remember that.
What do you reckon then? Do you think it's true?
I think there are parts of it that
are unexplained.
Yeah, very unexplainable, but there are also parts that could be explained. So
but
in
if,
my.
But
judgment,
they never made
I'd
any
say,
money out of it, right? They never made any money.
Well, they should
right?
have.
Now, they should have, yeah right?
But then again,
but,
then they would have been criticised.
And they were also scrutinised to say that they were only doing it to get a better house from the council. But when they
no,
when all these reporters
the
came
top,
in and they said, well, do you want to move? We can get you moved.
Yeah,
Mrs.
And they said no.
She said no. She didn't want to move. She was happy in the house, you know, as far as like it was
happy
their home. Yeah. Now, like I say, it wasn't always like that. It was kind of coming up, you know, gradually.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to be upheaved by anything, really, if you're having a stressful time of it as well. But
well,
maybe
yeah,
a fresh
move,
start might have done,
the second most stressful done
him,
thing, isn't it?
Do him a bit of good.
Yeah, but I do really think they approached it in a little wrongly.
Right, what do you think about the relationship between Morris and the family?
I think you're right on the case of that because of the death of his daughter, his emotional attachment was growing with his death, that family.
Now, I don't want to cast aspersions on anyone, yeah, right,
cool.
But I've been talking about this topic for a few weeks with a lot of people,
yeah,
and a few people have said maybe like, you know, there was some sort of,
don't say it,
neglect or you know,
of the mother,
but, well, not necessarily, you know, and it was kind of a coping mechanism,
yeah, but it still doesn't explain how a chair moves on its own.
Well,
how
that's
come
true.
The room messes
yeah.
up.
Now,
there was definitely something there, unless there was a fucking good magician.
And that's what I'm saying. It's like, in terms of, like, they'd have to be very, very clever to pull it off.
Yeah,
right?
Very clever.
And I don't think they were,
no.
Right? So.
No, it wasn't one of them things back in the day like that, though. Was it really?
Yeah.
It was just like, if you were going to do something, you'd do some kind of scam, something that it wouldn't even affect your family.
Have you noticed as well, right, I kind of clocked onto this, names cropped up in duplicate a lot throughout the story.
How do you mean?
So you've got Morris,
yeah,
and the BBC reporter's Morris. Janet was Morris's daughter, and Janet was also the girl in the house. And then there was another one as well, Peggy and Peggy, and they live next door to each other. Yeah, so names were cropping up in duplicate throughout the story.
Yeah,
I kind of thought that was a bit weird. And the fact that the brothers just disappeared out of nowhere.
Yeah, the brother thing is
never mentioned.
A bit odd. But then again, she might have been trying to protect her sons. Because her daughters were mostly to do with it.
Yeah.
By the looks of things, so she wanted to protect
I tell you where I stand with it. I think it's quite an interesting story. I mean, and like I say, I've researched this more than most of the hauntings,
yeah.
Like, right? And I tried to find out a bit more rather than just, you know, based off one source, you know?
Yeah.
So it's got to get a bit more info. But I don't know. It's like the tapes are compelling. The photographs, I don't think are. You know, they don't show anything, the photographs, apart from someone jumping, leaping, you know.
That's what when I saw that, she's leaped,
yeah.
I thought.
Yeah,
but then
she,
in another angle, it could be easily
interpreted. And like I say, it's how you interpret those photos, and they're open to interpretation.
Yeah.
So you can't say one way or the other.
Yeah.
But
then with the situation of the other stuff happening, you could. Yeah, it questions it even more now.
So in terms of like evidence. There's only the audio to go off. But the audio is compelling, you know.
Yeah,
it's compelling enough to make you think, oh, shit, there's something to this.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Most definitely. Now, definitely it is.
Like I say, I've never had any major paranormal experiences, and it was a story in the family from before I was born.
Right.
But I don't know anything about that.
Yeah.
And I think next time we've got our Paul on, and we're doing a paranormal show, we'll get him to tell you that one.
Cause,
he knows a bit more about it.
Okay.
So,
we had one time when we moved into our house where there was a photo of a picture up on the wall of a tiger and an Indian. It's a nice picture, actually. It was real nice. So my brother saw it and he was like, I'm keeping that. So we put it on the wall. We'd done bits and bobs in the house and we nipped out of the shop, went down to the shop. Well, we walked out the door, and then 2 seconds after that, it was like, oh shit, forgot my wallet or shit, whatever.
Yeah,
went back upstairs, picture had gone.
He had totally gone?
Totally gone, nowhere to be seen. Nowhere.
Oh, that's a bit weird.
It was like, what the fuck?
That is weird.
That was the weirdest.
I've never had anything like that. Now, Mad Mike thinks that the bunker that Never a Straight Answer headquarters is haunted, and we're going to aim to rather prove or disprove that on our, hopefully. We're not going to drop too much information about it yet, but
part two
of our Halloween extravaganza. Now, when we say part two, we're always going to throw Never a Straight Answer extra in midweek anyway.
Yeah.
But our next episode will be next week.
Next week, yeah.
Which should be around about Halloween.
Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah. So I think that'll be like the closest we'll get to Halloween. And then I think we'll probably throw out a little extra one on Halloween.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because
we've got stuff to do, you know. We've got trick-or-treating.
Yeah.
Got some sweets to collect.
My costume, man.
I remember when you'd go out and get money, and they just give you pocket full of change and you can go buy fireworks or cigarettes.
Yeah, but that's true. But no, kids don't even do that. They don't even get Jesse. They walk up to you and go,
Gives you money, mate. Yeah, mate.
How much you got?
Yeah, yo.
Yeah, there's a cigarette then or something. Buy some cigs.
So,
times have changed.
We're definitely kind of going on the Halloween train.
Yeah.
It's a ghost train.
It is. It's a ride to Waterloo.
Fucking hell. What?
Victoria.
That ABBA song.
Yeah.
That is a horror story if I ever heard one.
Well, I don't know. It made a lot of money, though.
So, I think we'll probably try and slip an entertainment news into one of the extras as well.
Yeah.
But, that's pretty much about everything for the main topic for this episode this week.
I believe
I think that was a really, really good topic anyway, so.
Yeah.
Let us know if you like the paranormal stuff and if you want to hear more.
Yeah, we can talk some more. We've got a few more stories on that.
Yep, defo. And if you want to drop us an email, you can get us at neverstraightanswer@gmail.com. You can hit us on Twitter at NASA_never. Instagram, at the request of Jay, he's saying we need to get on Instagram, so we're on there now.
So we're on there now, so no excuses.
He's still not even added us.
He hasn't.
Yeah, we're
he's
on Instagram
here
at Never Straight Answer, and all the platforms you can get us on. So make sure you subscribe, but give us a 5-star rating on iTunes.
Yeah,
subscribe on Google Podcasts, Anchor FM, which is our host.
Yeah.
Last week, do you know, like I was saying about last week, I wanted to get on TuneIn
because you could get
on the Xbox and play games while you're listening to our podcast.
Yeah.
And I said I was going to aim to get us on by the end of by this episode.
You did?
Yeah, I got us on the very next day.
Yeah, no, because I've been listening to our podcast on
it. It's good because you can actually just play your games and just have a listen. And, you know, when people say they haven't got time, it's perfect.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it's ideal for that. Got some shout-outs. Who have you got shout-outs for this week?
I've got a shout-out for Wayne, a.k.a.
Mr. Pilkington. Mr. Pilkington.
Yeah, Pilkington.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
He's a new listener.
He's definitely a fledgling. We need to come up with a thing for the listeners. Like our cosmonauts or our astronauts or
something.
We need not like an army, But like, yeah. You know.
Well, I'll tell you what we should do then. For the beginner listeners, we should give them the opportunity
to come up with
one. Yeah, and whatever comes up the most, we use that.
And what I'll do is I'll put a poll as well with the best suggestions, and then you can pick a poll out of the poll.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we won't come up with it.
But yeah. Like, stand use.
I don't want to. You know, like I liked what's his name, Clint Boone. He had the Boone Army. Not like that, but you know, we're never a straight answer, the NASA cosmonauts, but you know, I don't know. Well, I'm always somewhere a bit more original than that.
Yeah, something clever if you can as
is,
well.
Is that it for your shout outs?
Yeah.
I was going to shout out Wayne as well, but I'm gonna shout out, I was like, why, do you know when you get interesting Twitter followers?
Yeah.
Yeah. Brian, Skull, what is it?
Skullon. Is it?
Scalaro.
Scalaro.
Brian Scalaro, comedian from Hollywood.
Oh,
has
right.
Followed us. Yeah, oh, yeah. He's actually been in actual TV programs. So like.
Yeah, he's got a big list.
Superior Donuts. Yeah. I watch that. Yeah, so well in. Cheers for following.
Yeah, man.
He's probably
yeah.
not even listening. But also, we've got a podcast of the week.
Oh, which is that?
They're good. They've been nice and been tweeting and following. And like, I like this. I like the community on Twitter when it comes to podcasters, because everyone retweets each other's episodes, which is quite cool. And this is a podcast called Ten-ish. Yeah, that's 10. The number 10.
Yeah.
Brackets ish. And they're a podcast that discuss top 10s every week. And that's hosted by Nick and Brandon.
All right.
So well in, guys.
Nice one, lads.
Yeah, so
I'll have a little listen to them.
Definitely, yeah, man. Like, because we do our top tens as well, but I think they're a bit more in depth with theirs, whereas we kind of go boom, bish, bash, bosh.
Yeah,
you know,
and
stick one out there.
Yeah,
and generally relate.
Well, then that makes no threat to the competition.
They actually discuss their top tens in depth. Yeah, check it. Worth checking out.
Yeah, definitely.
Other than that, definitely. You can get your merch. If you go to the website called Dizzy Jam, and our shop's called Never a Straight Answer.
Yes,
and you can find all our stuff, hats, t-shirts, mugs.
Definitely
and
can.
My mug actually arrived today, but I was at work. So I've got one of those you can collect your parcel from the post office cards, which you won't be able to collect till Tuesday. And I was really hoping to have my brew tonight in my mug.
Yeah.
So I was disappointed in that.
Yeah.
But what are you going to do? Such is life.
Well, that is true. One more shout out. Last one for Frush. Shout out to Frush.
Frush.
Yeah.
Well in Frush.
Yeah.
He's a prickly character.
He is. An irritable cunt, boy.
Well, that's why
he wanted me to give a shout out. So Frush.
Yeah. Well, cheers for everyone who's listened. Really pleased with the support and everything that everyone gives us. So it makes us spur on to coming and doing again. So
yeah, man, it keeps us coming back in and doing.
Well,
I'm honestly
really enjoying doing it. So
most definitely, man.
Yeah, 100%. Can only get better.
Yeah.
So that's basically all we've got time for on this episode of Never a Straight Answer.
Yeah.
I'm Gaz.
I'm Taylor.
And that's pretty much it. So we'll catch you on the flip side, and peace out.
Peace out.